May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. When I was a young girl growing up in northern Indiana, on warm summer nights, my father would grab a blanket from the house and then beckon me to join him in our backyard, where we would lay down on our backs and gaze up into the night sky. We were far enough from the city center that the sky would be alit with stars as I would try to focus my eyes and make sense of the vastness laid out before me. My dad would raise up his hand and point at the sky and say, "Follow my finger. Look, do you see that bright star there?" "Yes," I answered. "That one's called Arcturus," he said. "It's the fourth biggest star in the sky and the tip of that diamond-shaped constellation called Bootes." And then he added, "And if you follow it up and to the right, you'll see a constellation that looks like a big cooking pot. Do you see it?" Following his finger, suddenly the constellation appeared before my eyes. "I see it, Daddy. It's the Big Dipper." "Yes," he said, "that's it. Now look at the two stars that make up the right side of the pot and draw an imaginary line connecting them. And then keep that line going up into the sky in the same direction. Now, do you see that star?" I opened my eyes wider as he said this. And then he said, "It's not so bright, but it is special because it's the North Star." "Dad," I asked, "is it called that because it's in the north?" And he said, "Yes, partly, but also because it's the star that is over the North Pole. It's called Polaris, and it's the one star that seems to stay steady in the sky, always in the same place. The other stars rotate around it, but Polaris stays put. That's why so many people have used it to help them find their way. And if you look for and find the North Star, Lori, you'll never be lost." And so, from a very young age, I had an awareness of the mystery of the heavens, the deep relationship between darkness and light, and how the light of the stars could illuminate the sky and show me my way. In today's gospel, we hear about darkness and light. John tells us an incarnation story that is vastly different than those we've heard the last several weeks from Luke and Matthew. The story tells us of the arrival of Jesus in cosmological, creative terms. Echoing the opening of Genesis, John tells us of the power of God's creation and redemption as expressed in grace and truth through Jesus, who was there in the beginning with God and who was God. And referencing the first thing created by God, light, John tells us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. The metaphor of Jesus' coming is like turning on a light that illuminates the darkness. The darkness does not go away. Rather, it just doesn't overcome the light. Even a small flame of light can push back against darkness, illuminating the way through our fears, our anxieties, our worries and grief, and even our doubts. In our Western culture, we practice dualistic thinking. Constantly, we are contrasting things that we see as opposite, like right and wrong, or like true and false. And so, it would be easy for us to set light and dark against one another, and then to choose light as the correct, true, and only option. But what if within the darkness there are sacred gifts awaiting us? First, let's look at the dark. What is it but the absence of light? It cannot do anything. And yet, because it is all around us, we often feel like it has power. And that can be scary. Genesis 1 tells us a story about dark and light. The earth had no form, with darkness over its surface. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated it from the dark, calling it day and calling the dark night. And there was evening and there was morning. It's important to notice that the light and the dark continued to exist, both of them. God did not destroy the dark or cast it out. Rather, the dark and the light existed in unity, one as day, one as night, each a necessary part of the whole. Yet for centuries, the emphasis has been placed upon the goodness of or the preference for things that are light, white, radiant, or perceptually pure or clean. This is in contrast to those things that are dark, black, void of light, or perceptually impure or unclean. Within our own religious tradition, white is the chosen liturgical color for Christmas and baptisms, times of celebration and joy, while black, or the absence of color, is used only on Good Friday when we're focused upon the crucifixion and death of Jesus, a time of sorrow and remorse. Is it any wonder, then, that we unconsciously fall into the trap of dualistic thinking and condemn that which is dark as harmful or dangerous? Perhaps not. But what if we sought to open our eyes to explore the gifts to be found in the darkness? And what might we discover that could deepen our faith and help us through in tough times? I think about the stars in the sky that I so very much enjoy for their luminosity, and how, without the darkness of the night sky, they would remain forever invisible to me. On Christmas Eve, we gathered here and we turned out the lights in our nave and we lit individual candles as we sang Silent Night together. It was an intentional act to bring darkness into our space so that the lights we held might illumine the way for the Christ child to enter our hearts. One gift of darkness is that it can provide context and perspective, helping us to see things which might otherwise go unnoticed. St. John of the Cross, a mystic from Spain, a saint and a priest, who was held captive in a stone cell in the basement of a Carmelite monastery in Toledo, Spain, calls faith luminous darkness. Luminous darkness. Sitting in his cell in the dark, he could see nothing. But with his ears, he could hear the movement of the river nearby through the small window of his cell. There, in total darkness, he felt the presence of God surround him, and he sensed God's energy, active like the running water of the river. It was a moment of transformation in which God broke through the darkness in an unexpected way, illuminating it and giving him hope and strength to continue on his journey. John knew that love, unity with God, was the goal. What he learned is that ever deeper trust inside of darkness is the path for getting there. When we find ourselves in darkness, unable to find our way, feeling afraid or unsure, John of the Cross reminds us to pause and to go deeper in trust as we open up our other senses to help us see where and how God is present before us. Most of us understand darkness because we've been there. We each at some time have experienced the anxiety and fear that can take over when we can't see our way out or when the challenges of life, either on a personal or on a national scale, overwhelm us. The death of a loved one, senseless acts of violence, the loss of work, broken relationships, depression, addiction, whatever it is that has pulled us into the abyss, we must remember that God is with us. That the Word was made flesh and that the light does illuminate the darkness. We must remember that we are not alone and that even if we cannot feel God or touch God or see God, God is there, an ever-present gift moving in and through our lives, through the darkness, the giver of light and life. Remembering can help. I remember and cherish those times with my dad when he introduced me to the stars and constellations. With tender care, he opened my eyes to behold and love the beauty and mystery found in the darkness of the night sky. And today, when I pause and gaze into the heavens, I am filled with awe. As author Madeleine Engel wrote about the mystery of creation, "Perhaps I should feel insignificant, but instead I feel a soaring in my heart that the God who could create all this and out of nothing can still count the hairs of my head." The good news, yes, this God, the Word made flesh in Christ, and the ever-moving Holy Spirit is the light that shines in the darkness. This is the God who, like my dad, sits with us, embraces us, teaches us, and points out the way. This is the God who knows us and loves us and who helps us not to fear, but rather to love the darkness. Amen.